John chapter 5 tonight, we're going to start in verse 17. Let me just refresh you. In John chapter 5, Jesus heals the lame man, the man that had been lame for 38 years, that was laying at the pool of Bethesda. He'd laid by the pool, that pool, because at certain times an angel went down and stirred the waters, and whoever was first into the pool was healed. Jesus came by that pool, saw the man laying there, and asked the question, wilt thou be made whole? And he said, here was his answer. He said, well, when the water stirred, I don't have anybody to help me, and somebody gets in the water before I do, and so I'm not healed. But his answer, the implication is, yes, that's why I'm here. I want to be healed. And so Jesus said, well, just rise, take up thy bed, and walk. You see, the master of the angels didn't need to wait for an angel to come down and stir the water. He just said, take up your bed and walk. And when he spake it, it was done immediately. And, of course, Jesus doesn't do anything halfway. He was made whole immediately. And he did what Jesus said. He took up his bed and walked. Now, it was a Sabbath day, and it was against the law to carry your bed on the Sabbath day. And so the Jewish leaders, saw this man carrying his bed, and of course they got after him. They said, you're not honoring the Sabbath, you're breaking the Sabbath. And the man said, well, the one that healed me, he's the one that told me to do it. And by the way, it was a practical instruction. I mean, why would the man leave his bed by the pool? He had no reason to come back there. So, I mean, he was on his way home. He was never coming back to the pool of Bethesda. And so Jesus said, well, take your bed and take it home. So it was a very practical instruction on Jesus' part. And so when the man said, well, the man that healed me told me to take up my bed and walk, the Jew said, who was it? And the man said, I don't know. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus had departed right after he spoke those words. They met later in the temple, and Jesus told the man, hey, now you've been made whole. Don't sin anymore, lest something worse come upon you. And so at that meeting, the man discovered that it was Jesus that healed him. So he went back to the Jews and he says, hey, this one called Jesus is the one that healed me. Now, the Jews, the Jewish leaders were angry and upset. We already talked about that Jesus had assumed authority in the temple that the Jews got on about when he cast out the money changers and those that sold animals. He said, you made my father's house a den of thieves. And now he had violated the Sabbath by healing. The Jews didn't think that, you know, people ought to work on the Sabbath. Healing would be part of that. And he was teaching others to violate the Sabbath by telling this man to carry his bed. And so the Bible says they sought to kill him. They sought to kill him. Now look at verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh here hitherto, and I work. What Jesus was saying, hey, my Father doesn't take a day off. He works all the time. Now the Sabbath day was a day of rest for God's creation. He made everything he made in 6 days, and then he took the day off. But to say that God takes every Sabbath day off is wrong. That's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that God is at work 24/7. And Jesus said, hey, my Father doesn't take a day off, and I am not going to take a day off either. The Bible tells us that man was not made for the Sabbath. That's what the Jews wanted. Man was made to keep the Sabbath. The Bible says that the Sabbath was made for a man. It was a day of rest. It was a day to worship God. It was a day to worship God when the activities of daily life didn't interfere with worshiping God. And on the Sabbath day, that day of rest, that day to worship God, it was a day to sort of recharge, a day to get ready with God's help for the next week. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And so when Jesus gave him this answer, they got madder at him still. He not only broken the Sabbath, but he'd called God his Father, which made him equal with God. And so he was not only a Sabbath breaker, but he was a blasphemer. Because if you claimed to be God, you were blaspheming against God. Look at verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, and whenever Jesus said that, he wants people to pay attention. He says, what I'm about to say is very important, so please listen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. What Jesus was saying, hey, as the Son, I do nothing of myself. The only things I do is what I see my Father doing. And so in healing this man, Jesus was acting within the will and the work of his Father. Okay? He says, I'm the Son. I'm only doing what I've seen my Father do. Verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Jesus said, my Father loves me. He shows me what he does. And by the way, here's what Jesus said. You haven't seen anything yet. I mean, there's going to be greater works. You think healing this man that has been lame for 38 years, you think that's a great work? You're going to see greater works than this, and you're going to marvel. You're going to wonder. You're going to be in awe that God would do that for mankind. Verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. You're going to see the dead raised. The Father does that. I'm going to do that. And of course, we know from the records of the gospel that Jesus did it at least three times. I say at least three times because we read about Jairus' daughter. We read about the son of the widow of Nain. We read about Lazarus. But at the end of John, the Bible says, hey, we've only recorded some of the things that Jesus did. If we tried to record everything that he did, the world couldn't hold the record. It couldn't hold the books. And so I say at least, Jesus may raise more than the three. I don't know. I know he raised at least three because that's the gospel record. And he said, you're going to see that greater work. You're going to see the dead raised. Verse 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. These Jews were setting in judgment of Jesus. Said, hey, you've broken the Sabbath. You've blasphemed because you've made yourself equal with God. And what Jesus said, hey, God doesn't directly judge any man. He's committed that judgment to his Son. And we'll talk about why when we get down to the last verse. We're going to look at verse 30. And they thought to judge, they were judging Jesus when all the while he was their judge and was going to be their judge. Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. The Jews honored God so much that they wouldn't even speak his name. I mean, they honored God that much. They thought it was a sin to even mention the name of God. And yet, here they were dishonoring the Son. And what Jesus said, when you dishonor me, you're actually dishonoring God, the Father. Because he hath sent me. I'm here on his mission. Didn't say it here, but he said in other places, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father. And again, on several different occasions, when God spoke from heaven, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased because he's doing what he was sent to do. He's doing my will. Of course, Jesus told us what that will was in the book, Gospel of Luke, when he says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the heart of the Father. That was the heart of God. As Kelly testified a moment ago, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he said, my Father has sent me. Verse 24, again, verily, 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 verily. Listen, this what I'm going to say is important. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. They weren't listening to Jesus. I mean, they weren't listening to what he said. They weren't looking at what he had done. I mean, there had been no man that was able to take a man that had been lame for 38 years and restore him to perfect health. They weren't listening. They weren't looking at what Jesus had done. And so in verse 24, he spoke the gospel to him. One of the greatest descriptions he gave of the gospel. Every verb in verse 24 is present tense. It's an active verb, except for the last one, where it says "shall not come." That's talking about the future. But he said, "Those that hear, those that hear what I have to say, and believe, do not come to the judgment." Because those that hear and believe, their sins have already been judged in Christ. And they have passed from death unto life. And again, the language, if you look at the tense of the verbs and you look at the language itself, it expresses the certainty of something that's already been completed. Now, they hadn't come to judgment yet. But Jesus spoke, they're not going to come to judgment. They will not come to judgment for their sins because they've heard and believed. Now, to the believers, to us, those words are words of assurance. We're not going to be judged for our sins as Christians because we've heard and we've believed. But to these Jews, they were words of condemnation because they'd heard but they not believed. Verse 25, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now again, in this passage, this is the first time that Jesus has used the phrase Son of God. He's talked about Son. He's talked about the Father, but this is the first time that he has directly said the Son of God. And he says, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and he that hears shall live. He's not talking about the future resurrection. He's talking about the resurrection that's happening now, that was happening then, that happens every time somebody gets saved. Notice it says, the hour is coming, and now is. Now is. It's here now. Those that hear and believe are resurrected from the death of sin to a new life in Christ, a life that only God can give. And that's what it says in verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And so when a person hears and believes, they are resurrected. We're dead in our sins and our trespasses, the Bible says. So when a person hears and believes, they are resurrected from the death of sin to life, new life in Christ. Verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And so God has given Jesus the authority to execute judgment upon all those that don't believe because he is the Son of Man. So here, within a couple of verses, you have both titles for Jesus that are used. Son of God, Son of Man. Son of God, Son of Man. He was both. The two natures come together in Jesus Christ. God's nature and man's nature. It's in him that God and man are reconciled. Paul writes in 1 Timothy, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." And again, a mediator is one that makes peace between two parties. Who better to make peace than one who knows both parties like Jesus did? He was the Son of God and the Son of Man. He knew God, he knew man. He knew the demands that God justice had to have. He knew the sins of man. Who better to be our mediator than one who knows both parties? Since Jesus has man's nature apart from sin, okay, because he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, who better to judge man for his sin than a man who knew no sin, who was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin? Who better to judge that sin? In Romans chapter 3, Paul writes, "God is both just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus." So he was man, but he lived a perfect life in the flesh. And because he lived a perfect life in the flesh, he justified God in God, passing the penalty of sin being death or separation from him. He lived that perfect life. And so again, he was man and knew the temptation of sin and yet never succumbed to that temptation. And as that man who never sinned, he said, "Hey, God is justified when he passes penalty on sin." And then on the cross, again, he made possible our justification before God. Again, for those that believe. I mean, he paid the price. One without sin, a man without sin, paid the price for all man's sin when he died on Calvary. And again, if we hear and believe that, we have the life that God wants to give us. Verse 27, "And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." He can execute that judgment because, again, he knows the temptation of sin. He lived his life tempted by sin, but without sin, and then went to the cross and died for our sins, again, because he's the Son of Man and the Son of God. Now, look at verse 28 and 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So again, this is not a resurrection that's happening now when Jesus was talking. It's a resurrection that's going to happen in the future. When they will hear his voice, the graves will be open, and those in the graves will come forth. Those that have done good to the resurrection of life, those that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. And again, in the Gospel of John, doing good is equal to, or the same as, believing in Jesus. Doing evil is not believing in Jesus. So what Jesus is saying, there's going to come a time when those in the grave will hear my voice and they'll come forth. They'll be resurrected. Those that have believed on me, they're going to be resurrected to life. Those that have not believed on me, they're going to be resurrected to damnation. Jesus will be the judge. He will be the judge. Verse 30, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." Jesus will execute judgment in the Father's name. The judgment that the Jewish leaders were judging Jesus with was not just. They did not listen. They did not see They did not look at what Jesus had done. Again, he worked the miracles that he did as signs so that they would believe when they saw the signs that he worked. But they didn't look. They didn't think. And so their judgment of him was unjust. But when Jesus judges, his judgment will be just because it will be in perfect harmony with the will of God the Father. In perfect harmony. All right, we'll stop there for tonight. Hopefully next week we can finish up John chapter 5. Thank you for being here tonight.